breeze blows, and I bite my tongue. It's probably a perfect day to go to the zoo. I finish buttoning my top, and as daintily as I can, without flashing anyone, try to slide off the back of the truck, only to find Logan there to help me. He's gallant enough to look away when I jump down. "Thanks," I whisper, realizing my undies are probably tangled in the blankets. "Please don't fold the blankets, Ethan." Of course, that's exactly what he does, but not before he shakes it out and my thong goes flying. "No." We all watch my undies go careening across the bed of the truck. Eyes wide, mouth open, Allison stares at the scrap of fabric like it's a tiny terrorist. Fuckity fuck. It's so quiet I can almost hear the grass growing beneath my bare feet until Logan snickers next to me.
"Pink lace. I highly approve,"
Allison sneers.
"Shut up, Logan."
Ignoring her, Logan leans closer to me.
"Don't worry about this. Just head on inside and grab yourself some coffee. I'll make sure they don't maim each other."
I give him a grateful smile and muster a quick glance back to Ethan, who looks like he's barely keeping his shit together. When we make eye contact, I motion toward the house.
Do you want me to make the kids some breakfast?"
Allison directs her glare to me, but speaks to Ethan.
"Why is your skank making the kids food?"
If her goal is to make me feel like shit, she's one to nothing. I look down at my clothes that were perfectly acceptable for a club, but now at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, definitely reek of the walk of shame. Feeling the familiar burn of embarrassment in my cheeks, I suck in a breath. Memories of storming out of Jamie's house that night turn my stomach. This isn't the same thing. This isn't the same thing. It just feels like the same thing. I turn away, unable to look at Allison, because all I can do is compare myself to her. She's beautiful. Perfect blonde bob with sun-kissed streaks that probably cost a fortune to have done at a salon. Designer linen pants, expensive perfume, elegant diamond earrings that glint in the morning sun. I feel like a husband-stealing tart next to her, which I know isn't rational, but my emotions don't want to focus on rational right now.
"Jesus, Allison, stop being such a..."
Ethan stops mid-sentence and shakes his head.
"Look, I'm not doing this with you."
"Not doing what? I thought we agreed we wouldn't have hookups around the kids."
He leaps off the side of the truck.
"She's the nanny and a friend, okay? Lay off."
"Are you kidding me?"
She shrieks, making me flinch.
"How cliched can you get? Are you seriously fucking the nanny?"
Embarrassment scorches my skin that already feels so brittle it might crack. Logan wraps his arm around my shoulder and steers me toward the house.
"You probably don't want to be around for this. It's gonna get ugly."
Understatement of the year, I think, with my heart in my throat as I walk away. Hunched over the bathroom sink, I stare at my dirty feet, wishing I'd been wearing shoes when I slunk from Ethan's truck to the house. All those warnings from my mother come rushing back to me. ¿Quieres que te llamen una callejera? Do you want them to call you a stray? Or the more insidious definition of callejera, streetwalker. It's always them with my mom, meaning the neighbors or my schoolmates, people at church, anyone who could witness my reproachable behavior. Them. She'd be mortified if she ever found out about this morning. Braving a glance, I finally look in the mirror and cringe. My eyes are bloodshot. That smoky makeup I applied yesterday sits like sludge beneath my lower lashes, and my hair looks like an F4 tornado blasted through it. Awesome first impression, Victoria. No wonder Allison hates you. As quickly as my churning stomach allows, I crawl in the shower and wash my hair,
desperately trying to scrub off all traces of last night. By the time I'm dressed in sweats and a t-shirt, the house is still eerily quiet. With sudden clarity, the reality of what happened this morning slams into me. Will Ethan regret last night? Will he change his mind about us? A sad laugh escapes me. It's too early for there to be an us. Despite what my silly heart wants to lament, I should be worried Allison will make Ethan fire me. See, Tontita, this is why you don't hook up with your employer. The thought makes me pause because Ethan doesn't feel like my boss, exactly. I mean, I work hard around here, but I like him and his family, and he really does feel like a friend at this point. And hell yeah, I like him as more than a friend. Standing in the doorway of my room, I force myself to bite the bullet and see what kind of fallout happened after I returned to the house. I find Ethan leaning against the kitchen counter, shoulders slumped, head down. He looks deep in thought. Off to the side, Mila's coloring at the table. Her eyes are puffy, and her cheeks are flushed. Hey, where's Cody? I ask softly, afraid that a loud sound will shatter whatever fragile state they're in. I park myself next to Mila, and she immediately hops out of her seat and into my lap. When I kiss the top of her head, it's hard to miss the fact no one brushed her hair this morning. Hey, honey, did you have a good time with your mama? She shrugs and wipes her eyes. Although Allison's Lexus was parked a decent distance from the truck, I could barely see it along the side of the house when I came in. I'm guessing Mila and her brother were still in the back seat. Based on Mila's expression, she probably heard everyone yelling. Ethan clears his throat, still not looking at me.
Cody's with Logan. They'll be back soon.
Hugging Mila, I ask her if she's hungry, but all she does is sniffle. When Ethan finally turns and we make eye contact, I mouth, "I'm so sorry." God, I am. Sorry for not coming in the house last night when he suggested it. For not getting up earlier this morning. For opening my mouth around Allison. Let's not forget the underwear. Hot shame burns my skin as this morning replays on fast forward through my mind. Ethan gives me a tight-lipped shake of his head, and I'm not totally sure what it means, but I do know this family has been through too much this morning to worry about me. He might fire me as soon as he's done with his cup of coffee, and that would hurt, but I'd understand. Right now, though, nothing is more important than cheering up the little girl in my arms, so I swallow back the thick knot of embarrassment. Mila, baby, how do you feel about Mickey Mouse pancakes? Someone recently reminded me that pancakes always make everything better. Think you might want to help me whip up a batch? It takes everything in me to keep my voice light, to pretend I'm okay, to focus on her instead of my own bruised pride. She perks up in my arms and nods.
Yeah, I can help. Can I stir the batter? I like stirring the batter.
There's my sweet girl. Ethan gives me a half smile. I'll take it.
Chapter 26. Ethan. The morning is fucking awkward, blue balls aside, that is. And while I'd love to pull Tori aside to apologize, she's getting my daughter to smile for the first time since she got home from her mother's, and I'd do almost anything to help Mila forget all that crap her mother screamed at me. Tori's sweet voice fills the kitchen as she ignores all the embarrassing shit that went down an hour ago and makes my daughter breakfast. As they're serving it up, the front door opens and Logan strolls in with Cody. Pulling up a bar stool next to me, he whispers, "Medusa gone?" I nod and sip my cold coffee before I reach for Cody. He's a mess, dried spaghetti sauce on his chin, crusty God knows what on his clothes. Dinner from last night. Hey, stinker, want some pancakes? My son claps and gnaws on his fist. I'll take that as a yes. Tori, would you mind plating up something for Cody?
Coming right up.
I'm a mess of frustration and anger, but watching Tori teach my daughter how to flip pancakes dials me down a notch, especially when Mila squeals with delight when she almost misses the pan. My brother hangs around until we put the kids down for a nap. By then, I think I've figured out what I need to do. When I reach Tori's room, she's sitting on the bed, her hair pulled up into a messy bun. I rap my knuckle on the door frame. Got a second? Her whole body tenses, but she looks up at me and nods. Without any makeup, it's easier to see the shadows under her eyes. You kept her up all night, asshole, and then slept out in the truck. Of course she's tired. May I? I point to her bed. When she nods again, I sit next to her and rub a hand over my face. Not sure where to start here, except to thank you for cheering up Mila. You could probably tell she heard her mom and me arguing.
No worries.
She blows out a deep breath.
I feel pretty responsible for what happened, so it's the least I could do.
It takes me a second to absorb what she's saying. You can't be serious.
I was the reason you were out there this morning.
Her slender hands twist in her lap.
Then I had to open my big mouth and ask about making the kids breakfast when I should have kept quiet.
Groaning, she turns and buries her face in the comforter, mumbling something about her underwear. Smiling, I rub her back.
You're a sweetheart, you know that? And there is nothing about last night or this morning that you should be embarrassed about. I'm the one who tracked you down at that bar and force-fed you carbs until you were putty in my hands. What can I say? I'm hard to resist when I break out the big guns. When she peeks over at me, I lift my arms and flex. Her shoulders shake with laughter, and she rolls over onto her side.
Pretty confident there, aren't you, stud?
How is it that she can look this beautiful in sweats and a t-shirt?
Just messing with you. Those big hazel eyes study me, and she gives me a shy smile.
I sort of like when you mess with me.
Not sure why everything is so easy with this woman. I'd have never guessed this was the case when we first met. Damn. Makes this even harder. I look away, needing to keep my wits about me, and Tori makes it difficult to concentrate. Not to mention the sexual frustration that's had me almost crawling out of my skin since we met. So, I need to ask a favor. When I glance back at her, she's nodding.
Of course.
Swallowing, I motion toward her. Listen, I had a great time with you last night. God, I hate this. The smile on her face fades.
But?
She asks, her voice barely a whisper. But Allison leveled me with some pretty serious shit out there today. Like threatening to petition for custody of the kids when I know damn well she doesn't want them.
Are you serious?
She sits up, her face reflecting the riot of emotions I'm feeling. Yeah, she wants me to fire you.
I'm not surprised.
Tori's shoulders slump.
I understand needing to make your kids a priority, and if that means you need to find another nanny, I promise I won't take it personally.
I reach for her and pull her to my side. I'm not firing you, babe. I told Allison she'd need a court order to make me do that. So unless you really did get arrested for snorting coke off a hooker's tits back in the day,
I think we're okay in that regard.
She chuckles and leans into me. So, then...
So, until I can see what Allison's gonna do, what she's gonna level at me on Tuesday at the courthouse, and the fallout of what happened today, I think we should put what's going on between us on the back burner. I need to talk to my attorney and figure out how to deal with her demands in a way that won't set her off. Can't have her freaking out in front of the kids again. Tori shocks me once more, wrapping her arms around my waist in a tight hug.
Whatever you need. I know Mila and Cody come first, as they should.
I kiss the top of her head, hating that I probably shouldn't even do that, but holding her is heaven, and the comfort of having her in my arms is overwhelming. I'm so sorry, I mumble in her hair.
I want you to know I really like you. I like being with you, hanging out.
Those words feel sorely inadequate, though I'm not sure how to phrase what this woman makes me feel.
I like you too, Ethan.
Her chest rises in another heavy sigh.
But I understand.
That's good, because I'm not sure I do.
Chapter 27. Tori. Cody tugs on my shirt, and I nearly fall out of my flip-flops. I don't know why I'm so jumpy. I'm not the one getting divorced today. Poor Ethan was a wreck this morning, spilled his coffee all over his slacks, and had to change. I guess his nerves are rubbing off on me. Since our chat on Sunday morning, we haven't had any more heart-to-hearts. Nothing beyond a soft smile over dinner or a hug when I bring him lunch. Mostly, he's been working his ass off in the barn to make up for the time he and Logan had to take off today to go to court. I can't lie. I miss the intimacy we'd started to build before Sunday morning brought everything crashing down. He's pulled back, and while he explained why he needed to do that, it's difficult not to feel a little hurt. Want a sandwich? I ask Cody as I brush his blonde hair off his forehead. If I cut it into small squares, he might eat it this time instead of just tearing it apart and gobbling up the lunch meat. He blinks up at me with his daddy's blue eyes and gives me a big toothless grin.
Sandwich.
You got it, buddy. I grab the bread and a few plates. Mila, are you hungry?
Yeah.
When she doesn't say more, I turn to watch her coloring at the kitchen table. She's been coloring a lot lately, ever since she heard her parents arguing Sunday morning. Last night, Ethan mentioned that he was going to explain to her what was happening today, so I know she might be feeling emotional. After I make the kids lunch and seat Cody in his high chair, I lean over to see what Mila's coloring. That's so pretty. Is it for your dad? She's drawn a horse and an enormous butterfly.
Yup.
He's going to love it. She doesn't say anything and barely touches her sandwich. Honey, are you sad about today? It's okay if you are. Tears start tumbling down her cheeks, and I pull her into my lap.
Yeah, I'm sad. Really sad.
My heart crumbles into a million pieces as I rock her gently. It's okay to cry about it, to me or your dad, to your mama too. We all love you, and it's good to talk about how you're feeling with people who love you. When Mila and Ethan spoke last night, he told me she hadn't wanted to discuss it, just kept nodding and acting like the divorce wasn't a big deal. It obviously is. Mila hiccups and holds me tighter.
Mama says she doesn't want me living with Daddy anymore.
As much as I'm struggling to not voice anything derogatory about Allison, I don't think it's healthy to turn kids against their parents.
Sweetheart, she's just upset, okay? I'm sure she'll work things out with your dad. She nods.
I want us to stay here with you and Daddy.
And he wants you here. I'm sure once everything settles down, it'll be okay. Your daddy loves you so much. He'd move mountains to be with you.
I wish it was like it used to be, like in our pictures.
She sniffles, and I grab a napkin and help her blow her nose.
Except I want you here too.
Mustering a smile, I wipe away a few of my own tears that escape. If your mama was here, you guys wouldn't need me to help out. But I understand what you mean. I consider the family photos on the mantle in the living room and can't help but wonder what happened to Ethan and Allison to bring them to this point. Although Allison seems like she very much wants this divorce, she sure leveled a shitload of acrimony my way when she found me with Ethan. She screamed at me like I was the other woman, like I was responsible for breaking up her family. Which makes me wonder if she still loves Ethan, or if there's a part of Ethan that still loves her. After a few more minutes of holding Mila, I sit her in her chair. Know what always cheers me up? Decorating cookies. Do you think you'd like to help me make some? You can help me stir. I really shouldn't feed these kids so much sugar, but I'm at a loss for how to get her out of this funk. I make a mental note to figure out more craft projects.
Can we do different color icing?
Yup, and we can do different shapes, too.
Can we make Daddy some, too?
She sniffles and smiles, pausing to wipe her nose on her arm. Okay, gross. Sure can. I reach for a wet wipe to clean off the snot. After we set up all the ingredients for the cookies, I pin her drawing to the fridge with a magnet. When I turn back to Mila, she motions me closer. Leaning close, she points to her drawing and whispers in my ear,
"You're the butterfly."
"Yeah?" She nods.
"Butterflies are my favorite."
"Aw. Thanks, babe. You and Cody are my favorite." She whispers solemnly.
"What about my daddy? Is he your favorite too?"
That's an easy answer. Absolutely. Probably more than I'd care to admit. An hour later, I'm writing the directions down as quickly as possible, but Beverly's zipping through the recipe faster than I can write. Pushing the phone higher with my shoulder, I hum into the receiver. "Wait, so you use ice water?" "Oh, yes. The colder you get the ingredients before you roll it, the better. Otherwise, it'll get sticky. I also roll out the ball of dough between two large sheets of plastic wrap so you don't have to peel it off a counter. Way easier." "You're a genius. My crusts never come out right, but I'm going to try this. Baking is tougher for me, so I appreciate the tips." "Be sure you send me a picture." I wrinkle my nose. "Of my crust?" "Heck yes, girl. Gonna be checking your work." She's snickering into the phone, and I'm shaking my head. "The pressure," I joke. The front door opens, and my pulse kicks up. "Hey, I think Ethan's home." When he enters the kitchen, my attention snags on how handsome he looks in a suit. Damn, he cleans up nicely. Except when we make eye contact, his grim expression makes my stomach clench. "It's your mom." I motion to the phone, my heart sinking when he shakes his head because he always takes her calls. Logan walks up behind him, slaps him on the back, and tells me they'll be in the back office. I nod, watching the brothers disappear down the hall. Beverly, can he call you back later?" She's quiet. "You have my number now. Call me if you or my son need anything." "Yes, ma'am, I sure will.
We could FaceTime this week if you want, so you can see the kids. They miss you. Logan set up his mom with an iPhone before she left, but they haven't had a chance to video chat yet. Thanks, Tori. I appreciate it. And thank you for looking out for my son. He's told me what a great job you're doing there, taking care of the kids. Taking care of him. It's my pleasure. And it has been. When we're off the phone, I do my best to keep myself busy in the kitchen, even though I'm dying to know what happened today. Is he upset his marriage is over? He doesn't seem like he's pining over Allison, but it's not like I knew them as a couple. Maybe they always argued. It's none of your business, Tori. If Ethan wanted to tell you, he would. My heart aches at the prospect. It's true, I'm not entitled to know anything. I'm just a babysitter, not his girlfriend. Certainly not anyone he needs to confide in. I'm chopping vegetables for a stew when his voice cuts through the silence.
Hey.
I clutch my chest. Damn, you scared me. Ethan grabs a cup of coffee and pulls up a chair.
Sorry about that.
When he sits next to me, I catch a whiff of alcohol coming off his breath. Maybe tequila. You okay? I ask gently.
No.
He rubs his bloodshot eyes as his brother joins us. Logan slides a notepad across the table to his brother.
Let's list everything. How much she invested, how much you've paid her already, the balance, how we can make up those funds and pay the bitch back. Stop calling her that.
Ethan grabs a pen and begins scribbling on the paper.
What if Mila hears you? I just can't believe her crap.
Logan's grumbling trails off. I look between the brothers, not sure what to say. Logan must see the question in my eyes.
Allison wants us to pay back the $200,000 investment her parents made on the ranch.
Okay. I guess that happens when people get divorced, right? They split up assets.
In one lump sum.
Damn. Yeah, that sucks.
But it gets worse. She claims it so she can be financially stable enough to petition the court for part-time custody of the kids, which,
he lowers his voice, we all know is bullshit because she can barely handle them 4 days a month.
Our attorney didn't want to challenge her on that rationale because doing so might make us look bad in the eyes of the judge. He said that since Allison already agreed to let Ethan have the kids for the time being, there's no point stirring that pot.
Logan explains how Ethan provided spousal support for the last year as payment on that investment from her parents in a show of good faith. He didn't technically owe her alimony because they hadn't been married 10 years, which is one of the requirements for spousal support in Texas.
But Ethan being Ethan, he wanted to help her out because he's a good guy.
Logan groans and shoves his hands through his hair.
We have 3 weeks before we have to go back to court and settle this.
Ethan seems lost in thought.
It was the right thing to do. She's the mother of my children. I couldn't let her starve. It's not like Allison had the chance to build any kind of career while she was living here.
He gets up suddenly, his chair scraping across the floor.
I know her family has money, but it's not her money.
Fists tight, shoulders rigid, he shakes his head, stalking around the kitchen before reaching for a beer in the refrigerator and slamming it shut. All of the glass rattles. Whoa, I'm not expecting his fierce tone or the anger radiating off him right now, especially after how Allison spoke to him on Sunday. With a loud smack to the bottleneck of the beer to the edge of the counter, Ethan pops off the metal lid, which rolls around on the floor. Although the bartender in me is impressed, the haunted expression that flashes on his face before he gazes out the kitchen window tugs at my heart. I clear my throat. Do you guys need some privacy? I can head to my sister's house if you want. Logan glances at his brother, who takes a long pull before shaking his head.
It's fine, Tori. You don't have to go.
Ethan sits across the table with a beleaguered sigh. You don't have to go. Not, I want you to stay. For the next few minutes, I analyze those words, arrange them in my head, pull them apart, and rearrange them. But no matter how I look at what he just said, his apathy came through loud and clear. I like to think I'm not the kind of girl to make a mountain out of a molehill, but a part of me wonders if Ethan and I are over. If whatever toll today took on him smothered his interest in me. The guys talk quietly and debate their finances and how they're going to repay Allison, while I sit and stare at the tiny scratches on the kitchen table. Internally, I chide myself over the sadness welling up in me. I get this is just a crush, that there's no way what's going on with Ethan could be more at this point. But I was so ready to welcome more, and he's likely nowhere near that. With a deep breath, I steel myself and return to the stew bubbling on the stove. I'm so in my head, I don't notice the guys have gotten up until Ethan's voice, low and gruff, calls to me. I turn to find him a step away. After a quick glance around the room, I realize we're alone. I take in his loosened tie and how his broad shoulders fill his button-down shirt. Since he got home, he's taken off his suit jacket, and now his sleeves are rolled up to his elbow, revealing tanned forearms and smooth, muscled skin. "You clean up well," I whisper, needing to break the silence.
"Come here."
It's two simple words, but a sentiment I needed to hear badly. I'm in his arms a second later, closing my eyes and breathing in his clean scent as he presses a kiss to my forehead. The relief in my chest is palpable, like the air in a balloon being let out.
"Sorry, I was an asshole," he says into my hair. "I don't mean to take this out on you. You've been nothing but sweet and amazing."
Blinking back furiously against the heat stinging my eyes, I take a steady breath because I don't want to cry on his shoulder. He's the one who's had a hellish day, and I want to be strong for him. He feels so good in my arms, sturdy and warm. I have no idea when this man dug through the defenses I spent the last year building, but he's burrowed into me now, and I suspect nothing short of open-heart surgery can remove him. Foolish though it may be to have such intense emotions for someone I met this summer, I can't bring myself to shut him out. Once my tears are on lockdown, I pull back so I can look at his handsome face. "I'm so sorry you're going through this. I wish I could take away the pain." Reflexively, I place my hand on his chest, like my touch can somehow heal him. Because it has to suck to go through a divorce. Because as much as I adore Ethan and hope that he can be mine someday, I hate that Allison must have broken his heart. Before he can say anything, I move my hand to caress his stubbled jaw. I know he said he needs time to deal with his divorce, but I can't help but touch him. "Do you need some ice cream therapy?" He cracks a smile and nestles me back against his body.
"I need some Tori therapy."
Best thing I've heard all day.
Chapter 28. Ethan. I may be dog-tired, but my heart rate kicks up a notch when Tori beams me a beautiful smile as I drop down onto the couch next to her. Her eyes return to the Astros game, but she reaches over and threads her fingers through mine, and everything in me, every cell and vessel, lights up. My life might be in chaos right now as I try to figure out how to repay my ex, but the woman sitting next to me helps me feel tethered to the ground instead of buffeted by the financial shitstorm I'm facing. It's been almost 2 weeks since my divorce was finalized,
and though I want nothing more than to be able to focus on what's brewing between Tori and me, the next court date looms like a dark cloud, one that keeps me up at night long after the house is still and quiet. I've resigned myself to being satisfied with snuggling on the couch, to holding this gorgeous girl, to hugging her, to keeping things PG when all I want to do is carry her back to my bed, strip her bare, and fuck her into next week. Not that there have been many opportunities, but that hasn't done anything to curb my craving for her, which has only grown since I've been witness to her patience with me, to her commitment to understanding where I'm coming from and being an amazing friend, to her unwavering affection for my children. It's the bottom of the ninth when Tori yawns sleepily.
Gotta take a shower and go to bed. I'm wiped.
I pull her into a hug, careful to avoid making eye contact because it only takes one glance into those wide, golden-green eyes to make me question why I'm holding out. She wiggles closer.
Don't stay up too late. You have that client coming over tomorrow evening.
I love how much of an interest she's taken in the ranch, how much she cares. Logan and I talk shop every day with her, explaining what we do and how we train the horses. She never looks bored or annoyed, always asks questions and perks up with curiosity when she's in the barn. We even managed to squeeze in a lesson on Stargazer. Tori was fantastic up on that horse. Her obvious love of the animal, a damn delight to see. I'm turning in soon, I promise. I breathe in her sweet scent. Night, baby. Sleep tight. She kisses my cheek and shuffles out of the room. I stare after her, wondering how we've somehow turned into this old married couple after skipping the part where we bone like our lives depend on it. Not that Allison ever watched baseball with me or liked to snuggle. It fills me with a strange satisfaction that Tori and I have slipped into such an easy friendship. It's not as though our attraction has dimmed. I see how her eyes eat me up when I come in from the barn, sweaty and hot with my t-shirt stuck to my skin, how she studies the ink on my arms, how her face breaks into a sultry smile when she sees me checking her out, which, by the way, is often. I've probably broken my record for the number of times I've jerked off in the last few weeks. Sitting in the dark, with longing and lust in my heart, I wait for the desire to become manageable, for the urge to charge after her and make her mine to subside. Once I can breathe again, I reach for the remote. I've just flipped off the TV when her unmistakable voice pierces the quiet with a blood-curdling scream. My heart stops in my chest. Tori. And then I'm in motion, racing to her room like my life depends on it. I fling open the door to find it empty. Steam billows from the bathroom where the door sits ajar, but another scream has me bolting forward before I can question whether I should go darting in there. The shower curtain is open, and her eyes widen when she sees me, but she makes no effort to hide her nudity. Water splashes off her slick body and out onto the floor, but that's not what concerns me. What has me tilting my head is that she's flailing and jumping around so much in the stall, I'm afraid she's going to slip and fall.
Ooh, spider!
She screams, smacking at her very bare, very wet skin.
Spider!
Now that I know she's not being murdered by a serial killer, I take a deep breath because, damn, she scared me. That's when my lizard brain homes in on all that water sluicing down her perky, lush tits, how it runs in rivulets along her tight little body, how ethereal she looks with that wet hair and steam billowing up around her. But before I focus on what I know is a bare expanse of skin between her thighs, I force myself to stop and look up. She waves her hands at me, imploring, angry, agitated.
It rappelled down onto me like a goddamn ninja.
Shivering, she smacks at her arms. I let out a chuckle, one she obviously doesn't find amusing.
Don't laugh, Ethan. How would you feel if a spider tried to terrorize you when you were wet and naked?
That's all I can focus on, those words, wet and naked. Swallowing, I ignore the erection in my jeans that would also love to get wet and naked, because there's a whole lot of naked right now. Dutifully, I take up her cause and glance around, up at the ceiling, along the tiled walls, down along the drain, all the while ignoring the naked. Jesus, save me from temptation and the boner in my jeans. Babe, I think you probably killed the culprit. Tori's breathless, her long, thick hair a tangle of wet locks cascading down her body, one I need to explore again with my mouth, because that fumble in my truck didn't do my memory of her curves justice. Eyes up, douchebag, eyes up. But the smile she gives me is a spotlight, stealing all my attention.
Really? It's gone?
God, she's beautiful. She stares at me from underneath damp eyelashes, the grateful expression on her face making my heart thump harder against my chest. Leaning into the shower and ignoring the spray, I wipe away the water on her cheek with my palm and desperately try to keep my hunger for this woman at bay. I'm about to tell her that, yes, the coast is clear, when I catch a glimpse of the eight-legged suspect. Wow, that is a big motherfucker. She's not gonna like this. Sweetheart, don't freak out. Tori goes stock still, her eyes widening as I lean closer to pluck the bastard out of the hair draped across her shoulder.
What the fuck?
The look of terror on her face is punctuated by another shrill scream and more hopping, except she bumps into me as she's jumping around, and I drop the damn thing. It goes scooting over her bare foot and five hot pink toenails on its way toward the drain. With a pained cry, she leaps out of the shower and into my arms. Chapter 29. Ethan. At first, I think she's laughing, because, yeah, this whole situation is pretty crazy. I chuckle too, not caring that my clothes are drenched and I'm standing in a puddle of water the size of Canyon Lake. I lean back toward the door and peer through her dimly lit room and into the dark hallway beyond. As loud as Tori was a few minutes ago, I think the sound machines in the kids' room probably kept them asleep. After closing the bathroom door with one hand, I caress her wet hair. It's only then that I realize she's not laughing. She's crying. My heart seizes at the panic in her eyes and the fear fluttering her pulse at the base of her throat. Darling? Hey, it's okay. She's shivering so hard her teeth chatter. Worse, though, she doesn't respond, just trembles in my arms and sniffles. My eyes dart around the bathroom and stop on the robe tucked through a towel rod. Grabbing it with one arm, I shake it out and drape it over her slender shoulders before I set her on the edge of the counter. When I realize how threadbare the robe is, I snatch a thick towel and wrap her in it before I tuck her icy cold body to me. It's a long, quiet minute before she says anything.
I'm so sorry.
No need to apologize. I mutter softly in her ear, but the fear in her voice is still so stark, I realize I'd do anything to make her feel better. With a gentle touch, I run my hand along her back. It's not every day a beautiful woman in distress needs me to rescue her. I like to think I bring my A-game. Ethan Carter at your service, ma'am. Rascally vermin are my specialty. That earns me a laugh, and I smile against the silky, wet skin of her neck. I reckon a lot of people have phobias. My brother loses his shit any time a snake slithers around here, but I don't tell her that because I'm not sure if her fear extends to all creepy crawlies or just the arachnid variety, and I'd rather not point out the wide assortment of pests native to South Texas. Anyway, it's no hardship to hold her right now, so I can't complain.
I'm still sorry I freaked out there.
She sniffles and snuggles closer.
Thanks for not dropping me.
I would never drop you. Burrowing against me, she shakes her head.
I had a bad experience as a kid with spiders.
I'm sorry, honey. What happened? I mean, if you want to talk about it, you don't have to.
It's so stupid.
I'm sure it's not, babe. Trauma that happens to you when you're a kid can stick with you long after the scars on your skin have faded. She sinks into me and sighs.
I was playing with my neighbor. Her older sister babysat us while my grandmother worked, and I made the mistake of hiding in the shed along the back of the property. My friend must have gotten bored and stopped playing, so she didn't hear me yell. Didn't know I had gotten stuck and couldn't get out.
Her voice is nearly a whisper when she says,
"There must have been dozens of spiders in there, crawling all over me. I had bites everywhere when they finally found me late that night."
Oh, shit. That had to be terrifying.
I had nightmares for years. But the part that always crushed my stupid little heart was how embarrassed I was.
Why were you embarrassed? Groaning, she shakes her head.
I felt so forgotten. My friend forgot me. Her sister didn't care that I had taken off. My grandmother didn't realize I wasn't at the neighbor's until several hours later, so she didn't know to look for me.
That would hurt any kid. Where were your parents? Shrugging, she gives me a sad smile.
Not sure. They traveled a lot when I was young. They were migrant workers, so I'd stay with my grandmother for months at a time.
What about your sister?
I'm guessing with my parents. I was probably around Mila's age, so I don't remember all the details. Just being trapped and bitten and freaked out.
The thought of my daughter being in a similar situation nearly steals my breath. A confusing mix of rage and helplessness swirls in my gut, making me wonder what I'd do if that ever happened to Mila or Cody. Fuck, I'd want to kill someone. I squeeze her tighter. I'm so sorry that happened to you, sweetness, that I couldn't be there for you. Another sniffle escapes her.
Pretty sure if we'd been friends when we were kids, I'd have made you eat mud pies, so count yourself lucky.
And I'm pretty sure if I'd known a young Tory, I'd have been smitten from the get-go. I love a woman who doesn't mind getting dirty. I give her my most charming smile with an innocent bat of my eyelashes.
Lord, look at you.
She presses her hand against my whole face and laughs.
You're too pretty to do that to a girl, Ethan.
Snatching her off the counter, I pretend to gobble her neck. It's the kind of thing I do with my kids. Tori's laughing and flailing, except this time it's because she's having fun. Her towel and robe are sliding off, but I don't care. I'm not gonna steal a peek. Just want her to forget the bad stuff that happened when she was young. Baby, we gotta rinse you off. In the mirror behind us, glops of shampoo and bubbles glisten in her dark strands.
No, I'm fine.
Her whole body stiffens as she shakes her head vehemently.
I can't get back in there tonight.
I set her back down on the counter.
Hey.
I tilt her chin up and wait for her to look into my eyes.
First off, I'm not gonna make you do anything you don't want, ever.
I caress her soft cheek with the pad of my thumb, and she relaxes in my arms and nods.
Secondly, you have shampoo dripping down your hair, and you feel like a block of ice. While I'm more than happy to rinse out your hair in the sink, I think a hot shower would do you a world of good right now.
She gives me an owlish blink before her eyes slide over to glare suspiciously at the stall as though an army of spiders might come marching out.
Do you want to use my shower? I can make sure the coast is clear before you jump in, and tomorrow I'll call an exterminator to inspect the house, just to be on the safe side.
I'd normally think that's a crazy length to go for one spider, but if it gives her peace of mind, I'll do it. After hearing that story, I'd do anything to help her feel safe. With another groan, she presses her damp forehead to my chest.
Oh, I feel like such a freak right now.
Her words get muffled by my t-shirt. If it makes you feel any better, Logan once dated this girl who got so hammered as she leaned out of his car to puke, she peed in his passenger seat. Now, have you ever peed in someone's car while hurling chunks all over the sidewalk? A snort of laughter makes her shoulders shake, and she peers up at me with a huge smile. See, I thought not. So in the big scheme of things, I'd much rather deal with my gorgeous, naked woman leaping into my arms than the aftermath of Logan's date. Her smile turns shy, the vulnerability in those golden honey eyes piercing something inside me.
Ethan?
She nibbles her bottom lip.
Am I your woman?
I hadn't meant to convey so much just now, except it feels wrong to hide my feelings from her. Suddenly, all that resolve to take things slow, to figure out what the hell is going on with my life before committing to this pull between me and Tori, seems foolish. Because have I ever wanted anyone more than I want her, as a friend or a lover? Never. How she's ingrained herself in my life in such a short time is a mystery to me. But I'm grateful, nonetheless. I'm a dumbass for not seizing this chance with her sooner.
Darling, I press my mouth gently to hers, tasting her minty, warm breath. I'd love nothing more.
Chapter 30. Ethan. Her fingers shift through my hair before she arches up and I kiss her earnestly. My lips slide across hers, and I yank her closer so I can breathe her in. Breathe in her sweet, warm scent that's uniquely her. With the last thread of restraint I possess, I pause, because I should take care of her first before I get too inspired. Worry clouds her expression when I pull back, but I dip down to kiss her again. Come on. I fold her arms through her robe and toss the towel on the floor to sop up some of the water. I'll deal with that tomorrow. Tonight, Tori's my priority. Threading my fingers through hers, I whisk her back to my bedroom, grateful the kids haven't budged a muscle since I tucked them in earlier. With a flick of my wrist, the recessed lights above the walk-in shower cast a warm glow in the dim bathroom. Turning, I reach for Tori.
You want me to wash your hair?
I run my hand over her damp locks, barely keeping back a shiver when I think of how it looks draped over her body. Another vulnerable smile tilts her lips, but the look she gives me from beneath her lashes quickens my pulse.
Would you wash my hair?
Of course. I say, a prickle of awareness dawning in me that we're not just unpausing our relationship tonight. We are barreling forward at full speed. But this feels right. With her eyes locked on mine, that shy smile fades until all I see is want. She wants me, and goddamn, I want her. Everything slows down as she tugs on the thin fabric wrapped around her. The pink robe slips down her shoulders, over her full, pert breasts, across the curves of her hips, until it's resting at her bare feet. Her wild, dark hair marks a damp path along her olive skin. In another lifetime, she could have perched herself on a rock, sung a siren song, and men would have gladly dashed themselves upon the craggy surface to be near her. She shifts, and her tresses carve out a map of generous expanses I need to explore before I fucking die of hunger. Let me take care of you tonight, baby. I whisper, brushing my palms over her bare shoulders. She hesitates. It's brief, but then she nods, reaching for me. I love that this girl always goes for it, that although she has moments of shyness, she always takes a chance. Best yet, she doesn't play games. The last 6 years have taught me I hate goddamn games. Tori's a lot of things. Young, beautiful, feisty, passionate, but never fickle. It's time I met her courage straight on. When I pull her closer and cover her lips with mine, it's with the knowledge that she and I are overdue, and I'm looking forward to getting caught up.
Chapter 31. Tori. Every part of me feels flushed and hot, like I've run a race and I'm out of breath, but exhilarated from the effort. Maybe it was that stupid spider scaring me out of my wits a little while ago, or how tender Ethan's been with me tonight, coming to my rescue and listening to what happened to me as a child, not laughing at me, only wanting to comfort me. Or maybe it's knowing we're about to do this for real. Even though I've been with other guys, even though I've carelessly shared things about myself with men who didn't deserve them, I know Ethan does, and being here with him right now feels important. It feels like a first. Like I'm handing him the parts of myself I've protected as I've waited for him to come into my life. He leans into the shower and twists knobs until a rhythmic pulsing of water hits the tiles and steam begins to rise. A quick pulse of expectation fires in my veins when he returns to me, finding my lips with his, and I groan into his mouth when his tongue strokes against mine. When I pull back, I paint his mouth with my finger, wanting to memorize the feel of his skin and hue of his full lips. I hadn't planned on you this summer. He bites my finger, and I yelp and laugh.
You know what they say. The best-laid plans of mice and men often go awry.
Handsome and smart. I have no idea who he quoted, but I don't really care. Then you're my favorite mistake. Smiling, I step back just enough to slide my hand down his t-shirt so I can yank the offending material off his body. He laughs at my eagerness, reaching back to his collar to help me with that one-handed shirt removal guys do that looks so effortlessly sexy. He shakes out his thick, dirty blonde hair, the shirt relegated to the cold tile, and I bite my lower lip to keep myself from grinning when I'm treated to all 6-foot-something of muscled man, of broad shoulders painted with ink and shadow and shapes that contour his powerful physique. Pushing up on my toes, I press a kiss to his sternum and run my fingers through his smattering of chest hair. Like I'm following a treasure map, I let the trail lead me lower. He smells so good, like soap and leather and man.
His hair is still damp and curling at the ends from a shower he took earlier this evening, but I don't remind him that he's already clean. His gunmetal blue eyes stay pinned on mine as I unbutton his jeans and shove off the denim. I look down to find his bulge straining against his boxer briefs, and what a beautiful bulge it is. With a held breath, I skate my finger along the thick curve, but before I make it to the tip, he catches my wrist in his big palm. "No dessert before dinner," he chides. I laugh and dart into the shower, letting out a squeal when he smacks my ass. Why is he so much fun? He works tirelessly every day, his brow furrowed as he slaves in the barn, only to be this flirty, sweet guy when he comes home. Home. My heart warms at that word and how I've come to associate it with Ethan and his family. He joins me a moment later, stark naked, and my girly parts spasm at the sight. The man is built like one of his horses. Sleek, smooth, strong, and very hung. He wraps me in his arms, my back to his chest. Like this, his impressive erection thumps against my rear, and I expect him to ravish me, but instead he nibbles my neck.
"Let's wash your hair."
And he does, working in the shampoo until I'm covered in bubbles and a lovely grapefruit scent. The feeling of his strong hands massaging my scalp has me wanting to purr and curl up at his feet like his pet. After rinsing it out, he repeats the motions with conditioner. I'm a wrung-out mass of relaxed muscle by the time he's done. My eyelids droop, my breath is a slow, labored effort, and my entire body feels boneless. "How are you so good at this?" I cringe at my question, because do I really want to know about his experiences with his ex-wife or former girlfriends? Yeah, no. The thought of him with other women is enough to send a sharp shard of jealousy through me. Even though that's ridiculous, we're only starting out, barely becoming a we. I can't become a crazy jealous lover if we're hardly even lovers. I brace myself, just in case, but the effort is unnecessary.
"I have 2 kids, remember?"
But then he kisses my neck and murmurs,
"I'm glad you're enjoying this, though, because I've never washed a woman's hair before."
All that anxiety melts away like a thunderstorm dissolving into the horizon. How was he married, and yet this is the first time? Isn't this something a husband does for his wife from time to time? Because, yeah, if Ethan were my husband, I'd want the deluxe package. Hair washing, conditioning, and steamy shower sex. On the regular. My heart does a happy skip in my chest at the thought of Ethan being mine in a permanent kind of way. "Calm down, crazy. He hasn't asked you to pick out wedding invitations." His big hands land on my hips and slowly turn me, and I'm smiling from all of his attention, from knowing I'm the first woman he's touched like this. Standing in the shower, with water pulsing down and warm amber lights shimmering from above, I'm overwhelmed by him, by the stubble across his strong jaw, by the electricity in his eyes, by the sleek strength of his body. I've never had a guy wash my hair. I'm not sure why, but I feel shy and stare at his chest when I say this. "You're going to spoil me." I swallow. The barest parts of me just beneath my skin feel so thirsty, like I've survived a long drought, waiting for the rain. Waiting for him. With one finger, he tilts my head so I have to look up at his beautiful face. He smiles and leans down to brush his lips against mine.
"Good, because thinking about some other guy touching you like this makes me insane."
One more kiss, this time to my shoulder.
"And I'd gladly wash your hair every day, sweetness."
This is too fast, too crazy, too soon. A voice in my head screams, my limbs going weak. Closing my eyes, I try not to get overwhelmed. No, I want this. I've wanted this all summer, if I'm being honest with myself. Aren't the best things in life about taking chances? At least that's how I used to feel when I was younger. It's not fair to deny Ethan my full heart because I've made mistakes in the past. Carpe the fucking diem and all that, right? I'm doing this, I decide. I'm all in. Because I don't want to look back on my life and realize I screwed this up or lost out on a great man because I was too chicken shit to try. His hot breath is in my ear when I pull his body closer, wrapping my arms around his neck, his sizable erection thumping against my stomach. We slide together, and the moment our mouths connect again, we both groan. Those rough hands move down to my ass, stroke along my thighs, squeeze my breasts. "You sure about this, baby?" he asks between deep, drugging kisses. I'm over my internal crisis. Everything in me is slanted toward him like a field of wheat pointed toward the sun. Fuck, yes. I grip his wet hair and hold his mouth to mine, which gets me another groan rumbling from his chest. A moment later, and my back is against the wall, wedged against the corner where he picks me up by the back of my legs like I weigh nothing and settles me on his thick thighs, so that my core is nestled perfectly against his erection. We both look down at how he spears my flesh, the sight obscenely beautiful. My thighs tighten, and I try to move, but he won't let me. For a second, his rough hands merely smooth over me, over my back and breasts and stomach until I'm a writhing mess, slick and swollen and ready for him to fill me. He doesn't, though. Not yet. My heart is a heavy beat between my legs when he slides his wide cock against my skin. Quick jolts surge through me as his thick crown notches against my clit, over and over and over again.
"You feel so good, so wet,"
he murmurs against me. His shoulders and neck and forearms pull taut from holding me, from holding back and working me over. I'm wordless, a free fall of want and need and drive to finish. My head falls back, mouth open, breath caught, as every part of me tenses. But then he's sucking on my neck, licking behind my ear, biting my shoulder. Unintelligible words fall from my lips, but they're all a mixture of how good he makes me feel and how close I am, and dear God, don't stop. But when his mouth closes around my nipple, I come apart, flailing, flying, shocking jolts of pleasure shuddering up my body. I'm wrapped around him with my face pressed to his neck, panting and shivering with the euphoric surge of that orgasm. Though he's pressing sweet, soothing kisses to my shoulder as though we have all the time in the world to love and fuck, he's still very hard and very thick between my legs. The thought of that urges me out of my stupor and down to my knees, because now it's his turn to fall apart.
Chapter 32. Ethan. My gorgeous mermaid slides down to her knees, the sight of which jerks my cock in anticipation.
"Do you have a condom?"
she asks softly as she wraps her slender hand around my length and kisses the tip. I watch her pink tongue dart out to taste me, to lick off the bead of cum weeping out of me. "Breathe. Don't blow all over her pretty face. That would be rude and anticlimactic." Her eyes shift up, and I remember she asked a question. "Yeah," I clear my throat. "I do." Mentally, I thank my brother for being a nosy son of a bitch and bringing me a box when it was clear I had it bad for this girl. At first, she licks around the crown with teasing sucks and hungry noises that's better than any spank bank material I've ever had. Because she is the fantasy. Long, wet hair tumbles over her shoulder, and I reach down to squeeze her ripe breasts that are flushed and full. Mist rises around us, and my beautiful woman is kneeling before me, giving me the blowjob of my life. She strokes me with long pulls, all the while lavishing me with tantalizing licks, pausing once to glance up at me. She is such a vision, eyes bright and vulnerable, cheeks glowing and pink, lips wet and swollen. It's only a moment, but that look is almost better than the blowjob, because it tells me she cares, that she's invested, that she wants me as much as I want her. Leaning back down, she welcomes me into her mouth again, the sensation so intense I have to balance against the shower wall. Oh, fuck, she feels good. Wet warmth envelops me while her fingers score my thigh like she's trying to get closer. The sight of her stretched wide, sucking my crown before taking me down her throat, sends heat searing through my body. Instinctively, I wrap her long hair in my hand, a little moan escaping her when I fist it tight. I don't mean to do it, to pull, but then her hooded eyes lift to mine, and I realize she likes it. So I do it again, harder this time, yanking her down on me, the groan vibrating out of her, tightening my balls. Jesus, yes. Take it, baby. You feel amazing, letting me fuck your mouth. Words spill out of me, shit I've never said in my life, because I was raised to respect women. For some reason, Tori makes me want to own her in every filthy way imaginable. Based on the smile in her eyes and the care in her touch, she very much likes the praise, likes the way I thrust into her and swell against her tongue. Because when I let go of her hair, her hands dig into my thighs, and she holds me down the back of her throat. God damn. It's too much, too raw, too carnal. With a pained groan, I close my eyes so I don't explode like a geyser. As gently as I can, I pull her off and run my thumb along her swollen lips. You okay? I didn't mean to be so rough. She blinks, sending droplets of water to her cheeks, and nods slowly, but I can see the worry in her eyes when she quietly asks, Did you not like it? Leaning down, I pick her up, needing to feel her against me. Fucking loved every moment of it, which I underscore with a ravenous kiss. But I don't want to end this with the world's best blowjob. Her airy laugh fills the room as I stalk out of the shower, reaching into the cabinet and fumbling with the condoms until I have one in hand. All the while she clings to me, naked and pliant and so fucking exquisite, she steals the breath right out of my lungs. The cold air makes her nipples tighten, and I can barely focus on putting one foot in front of the other to get us back under the warm jets. The moment I do, she wiggles out of my arms, plucks the condom from my hand, and rips it open with her teeth. A second later, she reaches between us to roll it on. Perfect fucking woman. I scoop her up again, 2 seconds from spearing her on my cock, but manners. Can you take me like this? Not trying to brag, but I'm a big guy, and she's, what, 5'3"? Maybe? But she's nodding and kissing me and telling me to hurry, and when